Attention to the book of Exodus, out of the third chapter, I read verses 1 through 4 again for your consideration. The Bible reads this morning, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I." Supporting scripture, Acts 9, verses 3, 4, and 8. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul rose from the earth, and with him, when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." The base of those verses this morning, we like to use a thought or thing in the form of a question. What will it take for God to get your undivided attention? What will it take from God to get your undivided attention? Is it a young lady that's back in the woodwork that comes out? And all of a sudden you realize that, listen to that anointed voice. Will that get your attention? Undoubtedly it has. Glory. We're accustomed here at Faust Chapel. Pre-message selections are usually upbeat, full of fire, and they move. But isn't it a wonderful thing to know that a nice, low tempo, easy song, that you get away from the beat and the music, but you hear the words that minister to your soul. You see, that's what singing is all about. It's not about the jump. It's about ministering to the souls of God's people. And I wonder this morning, hallelujah, Jesus, do we understand or do we realize what a blessing it is that God has allowed us to assemble ourselves in this place on this day solely to give him the honor, the glory, and the praise that is due his mighty name? When you are blessed to be in the midst of such an anointed and gifted people, a people that know how to love, I thank God for you, the people of God, because when it's all said and done, let us know that we are one. Members of the body of Christ. The Bible declares that we are many members, but yet one body in Christ, who have been commanded by God to love one another. David said that, "How behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Our covenant states, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God, and the operative word there is being we. You see, we got to come out of self. We got to come out of me. We got to come out of realizing and thinking that it's all about you. You must know that it's not all about you. It's about us. It's about we, having been led as we believe. So do we know that wherever you are, whatever you're going through, you are not alone? sometimes when the pressures of this old world get you down and you just can't seem to find your way, you tend to believe that you're all by yourself. But God constantly reminds us through his spirit and through the people of God that he will never leave you all by yourself. I believe this morning that if we stop doubting and fighting against the will of God, then God will begin to do some things in our lives. Our deliverance, our healing, and our peace will come. If you are still waiting on God to come through and to answer a prayer request, I'm reminded to tell you not to give up in despair. For in his own time, he is going to come. In God's own time, he's going to do just what needs to be done in your life. But in the meantime, you got to continue to be watching and praying. Don't take your eyes off the prize. We cannot afford to be distracted. A lot of times things and circumstances will knock us off course, but we got to beware of the tricks of the enemy. For the enemy has a way of causing havoc that will sort of not have our minds as focused as we need to be. We are not attentive to the will of God. We are more in tune to do what we want to do. You know how it is. We grow up and we get to a place where we boast about the fact that I'm grown and I can do what I want to do. I can go anywhere that I want to go, but we still must know that we all have been bought with a price. I know that millions of people this morning are at their wits' end, wondering and worrying about how they're going to make it, jobs and mortgages and medication, food. And as we look, homelessness is on the rise day by day. Because of how bad things are, minds have become crowded and people have become tired and they have a feeling of hopelessness. You know how it is when you've been trying and you've been working hard and you've been praying and waiting on God. And you know, the old folks say, if it's not one thing, it's always another. It seems like as soon as you get one thing worked out, something else falls apart. It seems like as soon as you overcome one obstacle, there's another obstacle already in your way. It seems like sometimes it looks like opportunity is there and the door is wide open. But when you get ready to step in, somebody closes is a door in your face, but you cannot give up in despair. You got to learn how to hold on and hold out. If we're going to believe God, then we got to walk by faith. We got to hold on to God and make him hold to his promise. God is the one that made us, and I wonder this morning how many of you believe that God can meet you exactly where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. You might be up here. God can get up there. You might be going through the slump and you've been going through all trials and tribulations and found yourself down and low, but God can meet you where you are. You got to acknowledge that he is your God. And when you acknowledge him, you will find him to be at work in your life. Yesterday we had church cleanup. We had a spirit-filled youth block party and everything was good. As I walked around the church doing cleaning, people were working and people were cleaning, but what I saw was God at work. See, even though we were working, what I saw was God at work in us. Because we were working together as a team. We were working together as one big family. And then God blessed us to come back in the evening hour with all the people and the music and the energy and the power of a I will spirit. I will do what God wants me to do. I will go where God wants me to go. Because I got a mind this morning to say yes. Hallelujah. You might not want to go with me, but I'm going on anyhow. Anyhow. Hallelujah. Just God has been with us, blessing us in this house from Sunday school to this moment right now. And it seems like we just going a little bit higher and a little bit higher. And you're not going to go no higher than you want to go. See, if you want to go higher, you got to ask the Lord to go higher. If you want to feel better, you got to ask God to help you feel better. If you want to feel something, if you want to know something, you got to ask God, give me an understanding. Because the Bible said out of all of you, get an understanding. Understand that God knows you better than you know yourself. Understand that God is already aware that you've been crying the midnight hour out. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, one problem that we have is that the Lord our God has been knocking and is knocking at somebody's door right now. But we refuse to listen. We refuse to allow him to come in. But when trouble comes, we begin to question and wonder, where is God? God said that he loved me. God said that he'd never leave me. God said that he'd never forsake me. Where is my God now? But you got to understand that God said, I'll never leave you. Now God said it, but do you believe it? You see, there's one thing to hear, but there's a whole different story when it comes to believing. You got to learn how to believe what the word of God says. And if you're not a believer this morning, if you're not one that is actually walking by faith, I got a question for you. What will it take for God to get your undivided attention? Let us, if you will, deal with undivided attention. Attention means to heed or to care. Divided means to be in parts or classes. So to have undivided attention is shutting out everything else. Not thinking about something else while someone is speaking to you. You know how it is when we hear them talking, but we're not listening to what they say? Then that is what's happening in the world today. That is what is happening in the church houses today. We hear the preacher. We hear the testimony. We hear the song. But are we listening? See, we got to listen to what God says through the word of God, even through the song. There's a message in the songs. So we got to understand that God is looking to get your full attention. He don't want half of your attention. He don't want you to wait until I open up my mouth real loud and then you wake up and snap into the service. But he wants you to be attentive all the way through. He wants you to get it from the beginning to the end. He wants you to know that there's a beginning. I got to have a body. Then I got to hit a climax. But if you're waiting on the climax, you're going to miss a whole lot in the middle. You hear what I'm talking about? God is looking for your undivided attention. He don't want you thinking about other things when you ought to be thinking about him. God, the one that made you. God, the one that feeds you. God, the one that takes care of you. God, the one that has your soul and your body in his mighty hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for the men of God that have walked before us and that we read about and we preach about, that learn to trust the power of God. They realized and made me understand that without God, I am nothing. I found out without God, I'm nothing but a wretch undone. I found out that without God, I don't have anything to be happy about. But I also found out with God, hallelujah, in the midst of a storm, I got joy. When hell comes, I got joy. When people throw stones at you, you still ought to have some joy. Anybody got any Jesus joy this morning? For the Bible said the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm looking. And if I see a weak Christian, then I want to hold your hand. Because the Bible said the strong must bear the infirmities of the weak. We got to stop realizing or thinking that it's all about us. When you see your brother down, don't talk about him, cause it down. Pray about him being down and ask the Lord, Lord, help me, help me. Help me lift him up. Then the smart aleck that said, Daryl, am I my brother's keeper? Then my brother, if you hungry, then I ought to be able to feed you. This is my brother. One born in Lexington, North Carolina. One born by Fannie Mae Cain. But this is my brother. And if my brother needs, I need to try to help him along the way. We got to stop pointing fingers and throwing darts and telling lies. What will it take for God to get your undivided attention? Glory, glory. I'm talking about God, Daryl. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Just because God said it. So if God said, Richard, that I can have joy, woo! God is trying to get your attention this morning. Hallelujah. Y'all have seen this robe before. It's nothing special. But what will it take this morning? God, the supreme being, God, the creator, God, the sustainer of the universe, verse who has provided humankind with a revelation of himself. Hallelujah, Jesus. If God can make the natural world through just by saying the word, don't you think God has a way to get your attention? Somehow, some way. God got to get your attention. And when God get ready to get your attention, he wants your undivided attention. God said that I'm a jealous God and you shouldn't have any other gods before me. So God is saying when his word is being preached, when his word is being spoken, he wants your undivided attention. He don't want you worried about what you're going to cook for dinner. He don't want you to worry about if you're going to the mall or to the park. He don't want you to worry about who you're going to meet later on after church. But God want to know what's going on in your mind right now in the church house. Do you have your mind on Jesus? If you don't, what is it going to take for God to get your undivided attention? Let us go to our text. There's a man in our text that we know to be called by the name Moses. Moses was a man that was a living testimony. Every day of Moses' life was a blessed day. Because when Moses was born, it was at a time when they were killing all the boy children. But because God had a plan. See, I don't care what the enemy got against you. If God got a plan for your life, God gonna work out that plan. He gonna put you in a safety zone. And I thank God that Moses realized that God loved me. I could have been dead and gone. But God gave me a good mama. And mama realized that they're going to soon come. She hid me for 3 months. But mama realized I can't hide my baby no more. Baby going to start moving around. Baby going to start making noise at the wrong time. You know how babies do. Moses was just like your baby. Moses cried too. Moses had problems in his life too. But the Bible says she put him in a basket, put him on the isle of the river. And as he went out on the river, God so ordained to put the right people in the right place. That's why I love to serve my God. God will put you in the right place with the right kind of folk. Moses found himself being rescued. Hallelujah, Jesus. Pharaoh's daughter realized, I can't have no pretty little boy like that. But somebody send me one. I'm going to take care of him. It's a good thing to have love in your heart that you can take care of anybody's baby. Don't have to be a baby you had out of your womb. But if you got the love of God down in your heart and you see the need of a little small baby, then you ought to open up with compassion. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm talking about Moses now. Moses. A man that could have been dead and gone. But look at Moses. Moses was born to the Israelites. Moses was one that actually would have been in slavery. But because of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses got a chance to see the good side. 40 years, Moses lived as a prince. Think about it. If he did not have the love of God in here, if he would have been self-centered or selfish and all about just Moses, he wouldn't have ever even thought about the other children of Israel. He would have realized, look at me, I got it going on. I'm a prince in the castle. Can't nobody touch me. I got everything I want. I got servants at my beck and I can ask for anything and they better come. But Moses never forgot where he come from. See, it's good to have some teaching. It's good to have some training. And that's why I thank God, William, for the song of back in the day. Because if somebody don't teach you what they did in the day, you're not going to know how to hold on and hold out. Moses realized that I'm a prince, but one day Moses looked out and saw some of his brothers and sisters being treated in a bad way. You know how it is when we use the term blood is thicker than water? Moses looked at the situation and Moses said, now, wait a minute. I might be a prince, but that's my cousin. Them my folk you beating on. Yeah, I'm about tired of you beating on them now. Moses said, I love the Lord, but now let me tell you something. You hit him again. Now I'm just paraphrasing. Moses didn't say all that. Hallelujah. Don't try to find it. You ain't going to find that. Hallelujah. But Moses said, I'm tired of that. Moses said, now if you hit him again, he mine. That sounds just like something Deacon Bobo would say that. Hallelujah. Lord and Lord, but you better not mess with his family. Lord and Lord, but you better not touch Karen May Bobo. Moses showed his other side. Bible say Moses killed the man. Moses realized now they messed up. Know how it is when you're up here and you got it going on. You lose your head. It's easy to lose your head. You get mad and all of a sudden you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And all of a sudden you can't turn back what you done done. So Moses began to think about that thing. Moses said, I better catch some air. Getting too hot around here. My status is not going to hold me. So for 40 years, Moses was out in exile. What was Moses doing? Well, the Bible said, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. He came to the mountain, and as he got to the mountain, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. And out of the midst of a bush, Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses looked at this bush and realized, now, I've seen fire before. And when fire burned, fire consumed, fire destroyed, fire would make everything disappear. But now I'm looking at this bush and it's burning with fire, but the bush is not consumed. Moses said, I will turn aside. I'm going to see this great sight. Why is this bush not burned? The Lord saw that he turned aside to see. The Bible said God called out of the midst of the bush. God said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. Think about it. Here it is, the man of God standing there. A bush is burning with fire. He realized that there's something strange about this fire because it's not consuming that bush. He realized that now the bush is talking. What kind of bush is this? Oh God, the bush knows my name. Hear me now. Out of the burning bush, Moses, Moses. That made Moses realize there's something special about that bush. The Bible says, and he said, draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes, from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Oh, glory. What made the ground holy? The presence of the Almighty God. And I come to tell somebody this morning that when God said, Moses, pull off your sandals, I feel like I better take off my shoes because I'm standing on holy ground. We got a rule here at Vow Chapel that you don't come across this sacred platform because this is holy ground. And unless you've been anointed and appointed to do this thing, then God don't want you walking around with your dirty feet on his holy ground. So the Bible said that he told Moses to pull off your sandals, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. The Bible said that I heard the people crying out in the midnight hour. He said, Moses, I know what you've been going through. I know that you're tired of the people complaining. I heard them call out in the name of Jesus. I heard them say that they don't have very much. I heard them say that they wish that they had things a little bit better. But I come to tell you, my brother Moses, you are standing on holy ground. And as you stand on this holy ground, I want you to know that I got a job for you to do. I'm going to catch you to do something for me. For I want you to go out and lead my people. For they are my people because I chose them. I want you to go and tell your brothers and sisters that you're going to bring them out of bondage. You're not going to have to worry about being down and out anymore. I come to tell somebody this morning that you ought to know the voice of the Lord our God. Moses realized that this voice that is talking to me, it's not an angel, but it's God himself. God is saying, oh Moses, I want to let you know that I got a job for you to do. But Moses said, I cannot go, for I am nothing but a shepherd, and they won't hear what I have to say. But the Lord God said, oh Moses, if I tell you to go somewhere, I'll go right there with you. God said to Moses this morning that I want to let you know that you need to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Tell Pharaoh that I am the Lord thy God. Tell Pharaoh that I got your undivided attention. You know what I want you to do. You know where I want you to go. Oh, Moses, can you do what I tell you to do? I want to know this morning, Moses, have you heard what I told you to do? Do you trust me to walk with you in the midnight hour? Do you trust me to be with you when they go up against you? I want to let you know, brother Moses, that I made you from the dust of the ground. I want to let you know, Moses, that if things get hard, I got your back this morning. I want to let you know this morning that I will make a way out of no way. If God had to do a burning bush to get Moses' undivided attention. But now what about brother Paul? What did God have to do for brother Paul? Brother Paul was a mean man. Brother Paul used to be brother Saul, going around persecuting all the people of God. But I come to tell somebody that God has a way to get your attention. If you are going against the people of God, God has a way. They say that he is mighty sweet. When you look in the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the Bible says, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter or murder against the believers of God. Saul said, I kill anybody that say they love Jesus. If you shout for the Lord, I'll break your legs off. If you say that you got holy hands, I'll break your hand off. I don't want nobody lifting up the name of Jesus. But I stop by to tell somebody that I don't care whether you want me to praise him or not. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. Anyhow. Because the Lord has been good to me. I hear brother Saul now. He said, I got rules from the high priest. I got letters and orders that have given me the authority that I got jurisdiction over all the Jews. Them Jews better act like they know that I'm the one in charge. You can't go against me. because I am Saul and I got power. But Saul realized one day as he was on his way to Damascus, the Bible said a bright light shined from up above. It shined so bright that he fell down to the ground. And the Bible said when he opened up his eyes, he could not see no man. You see, God had to get his attention. God took his eyesight away. God made him blind. God made him blind so he could get his undivided attention. Think about it, if you can see right now, but if later on tonight you can't see your left hand from your right hand, it'll get your attention. You'll be wanting to call somebody. But I come to tell you this morning that the doctor's office is going to be closed. They're not going to come and see about you tonight. But anybody know about Dr. Jesus? He is open 24/7. He'll be there in the midnight hour. He'll be there when nobody else around. God will be right there when nobody else wants to be around. I want to tell somebody that they ought to be more like Paul. Paul realized that day that something done happened to me. I can't see out of my eyes. But he heard that the Bible said that I want to take you to a man by the name of Ananias. To get in Ananias' house, I got somebody already there that's going to pray your strength in the Lord. They're going to touch your blinded eyes. They get God out of God, got your attention. What you got to do is go and work for the Lord. But I heard the Bible said that when he touched the man and began to pray, that his eyes opened wide open and he began to pray and tell the Lord, thank you. He began to realize, I got a new name. I got a new name. My name ain't Saul, but my name is Paul. My name is Paul now, y'all. I got a new name. I got a new walk. I got a new talk. And I'm going to treat people like I want to be treated. I don't know why the Lord loved me so. When they sent him into Ananias' house, Ananias said, what you bring that chump in here for? He the one that been killing all the saints of God. He the one that been talking about everybody. I don't know why you want to pray for him. Aren't you glad that God don't work like that? God said, I know what he has done, but he is a chosen vessel. I chose him to do a mighty work. Now that I got his attention, you're going to see some changes in Saul. Saul going to walk a new walk. Saul going to act a new way. And I want to know, Foul Chapel, what does God have to do to get your undivided attention? Do your child have to go to jail or to hell? Do you have to run out of everything you got? You better know that God has a way to get your attention. Is it in your backbone or in your leg? God can get your attention. Do you know where your strength come from? All of my help come from the Lord our God. I come to tell you right here in Foul Chapel that not only this place is holy ground, but if I run down here, that's holy ground. If I run cross, yeah, that's holy ground. If I back up the steps, that's holy ground. I come to tell somebody that God is. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. What will it take for God to get your attention? Does God have your attention this morning? Say yeah. Yeah. Say yeah. 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 Woo. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Woo. Yes. What will it take? What will it take for God to get your undivided attention? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Come on, choir. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.